Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have...
Lucy Thomas.
And...
Brendan Levi.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2022 teen comedy, Super Cool, starring Jake Short and Damon Wayans Jr., where a teenager loser makes a wish to become cool and wakes up the next morning as an extremely handsome man. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram. Send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off. Spoilers for the end of the episode, we may have gotten one of those suggestions.
I thought you were going to say we may have got to 100 reviews.
No. Though I did on the weekend, I was speaking to some people that happened to be listeners and they were like, oh, we put in our iTunes reviews and they haven't appeared. So I think iTunes is conspiring against us and there are more reviews than we actually have received.
I don't know. You know, that Occam's razor thing is like the most simple explanation is probably true. I think they didn't review us and they just don't.
He's like, I didn't want to be a piece of shit. I reviewed you. All right. So on to Super Cool. The premise of this film is essentially big and super bad mixed in a blender. The film even evokes Superbad in its title. Does it deserve to be mentioned in the same breath as those films? Lucy.
That's a no from me, dog. I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
But it's Superbad and big. There's some heavy hitters, man. And yeah, I think it's pretty bold for them to have called themselves Super Cool and to have share so many themes with Superbad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was pretty bold.
Yeah, I have to disagree. I hated it. I really did.
I was expecting Paul to love it.
No, this movie is bad.
I'm not saying I loved it either, but it wasn't the worst one we've ever seen.
I sat through this whole thing just stone faced. I did not laugh once.
I don't think I did either.
I think we'll get into it, I really dislike this one, guys.
Well, I'm really excited because I had quite a good time with it.
And what?
I feel like this is going to make things really fun to talk about.
I did not expect that. I expected this to be all of us like piling on this film. I'm very surprised that it's turned out this way.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So, Brendan, like, what appealed to you about this film?
I think what I would say is the casting helped a lot and the editing, because I think I actually, besides, what was his name? Jake Short or whatever, the actual main character, everyone else, I actually really enjoyed the energy. And I think the cast is strong and I think that really helped
and
it along.
There was enough of a pace as well. I felt like a good cast, like And it, you know, the movie kept rolling. So it wasn't.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of problems with it.
Yeah.
And we'll get into
it. It wasn't a huge drag.
I'm actually generally hoping you've done some research on this film, because I have a few questions. Like, why is it directed by a man from Finland?
Yeah.
I know. So the first thing is it has that, what do you call that? Like the
film logos.
Yes. And it was like a Finnish, whatever. I'm like, have I got the wrong movie here?
I thought exactly the same thing, because it starts off, it's like made by Finland, like Finland Film Productions. And then the film starts with like a really like violent heist. I'm like, is this the right movie?
It's a fucking school shooting at the starting. Yeah. At the start, basically. It was horrifying.
And then my first thought is, like, last episode we watched Possessor, and I promised to Lucy that this film would have 100% less child murder. And then the film fucking starts with a guy with an Uzi shooting at a school bus. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. Pull on that.
But luckily, none of the students died, so that's all good. Only the bus driver. And it was a
dream sequence, yeah.
And it was a dream sequence.
I looked at his IMDb. Previous work, and it's all short films. There's like three short films, and they shipped him out and made him make a comedy like road trip film. For teen boys, like what?
Yeah, I had the same thought. So, and I tried to look it up. The IMDb trivia is empty. The Wikipedia page is empty. There's one interview with one of the screenwriters, but it's behind a paywall, so I couldn't get to it.
Because you piece of shit.
What could he possibly be saying?
Yeah. So I don't. Yeah, I genuinely don't know why this is a Finnish film. Like, I thought maybe it was like they shot it in Finland to get a tax credit or something. But no, it was shot in America. So I really am at a loss to why this is a Finnish film set in an American high school.
Do you know the budget?
It was 8 million euros.
What?
So, yeah, I don't get it. And like, name-ish actors.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
lots
I don't get it.
Sons and daughters of people.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, Damon Wayans Jr. is obviously, you know, his dad's very famous. But I mean, he, I think, is enough of a name himself.
Within
now
his
that
own
we don't
right.
Have,
yeah. I enjoy his, yeah.
But that's the thing. I actually quite like the cast. I thought there was a lot of good. I wasn't huge on the best friend Gilbert. I didn't like him a lot, but everyone else I vibed with. But this is the same issue that I had with another comedy that came out this year, Judd Apatow's The Bubble. Mm-hmm. Filled to the brim with actors I love, but you don't give them a script and you make them ad lib. You just get shit. And this film felt rambly.
I felt that about The Bubble for sure, but I didn't feel like that with this.
I actually thought, even though that film's, you know, fucking made by Judd Apatow and this is made by some Finnish guy, I felt like The Bubble, yes, was a lot more rambly than this one.
Yeah.
But there were some scenes where I just felt really like...
Maybe The Bubble, because it's all about making a movie during COVID... Maybe it's really supposed to capture like the pure insanity we were all living through, what we were feeling, and how it was just like swimming through soup every day.
Yeah, I don't want to defend The Bubble. Like,
I just mean like it came from a place where nobody was feeling normal, so it turned out weird, and maybe that's why. I don't know if Judd Apatow hears us talking badly, then maybe Leslie Mann won't like us anymore. And like, you know,
I mean, she was in that film as well. We're basically attacking her. I mean, if she's listened to our Change Up episode, she probably hates us already.
But we didn't say anything bad about her in that.
Oh, but
she's a double hot. She's the patron saint. Of this,
the patron saint. How yeah, could but she hate us?
She's defended the change-up on multiple occasions. She's proud of that movie.
No, because she's had a camera in her face. She had to play the game. We know what Hollywood's like.
Yeah.
She knows what it is.
But yeah, with this film, I feel like, you know, it, at its core, it's supposed to be a body swap film, and it really didn't
loses
need
it
to
immediately.
Be.
Yeah, it didn't
need
there,
to be
it?
At all.
So much so that it's not. like it forgets.
Can I ask, did the swapped character, because this is one of those movies where they swap, but you can only, like, see it in the mirror or whatever, you know, so the actor keeps playing it. Like,
yeah, Heaven Can Wait, Down
Heaven
to
Can
Earth.
Wait. Did he even have a line, that actor?
No, no, we never saw the hot version of the main character.
I wrote that
speak.
Down at one point. I'm like, has he actually made any noise? Or, yeah, how bizarre.
Well, I mean, I guess the fact that we even see him at all is a step above Heaven Can Wait, because we never even see the swapped body in Heaven Can Wait.
Is Heaven Can Wait the one? Which one's that?
The football player that dies with Warren Beatty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and I have the same problem with this as I do with that. It's like, by not letting us see the person that you've swapped into, it's like you're losing a lot of the point of what a body swap film is supposed to be.
And I mean, all it needed was some grabs, like when they were doing the dance, it should have, like, they should have swapped out some scenes so it was the other guy, or, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't have to be, doesn't have to be the other character the whole time. But it just felt like you were forgetting that it was a different person.
And especially because, like, so it's about a loser that swaps into a hot guy's body. But then he's in the hot guy's body, but he doesn't act any different. He still it doesn't give him some, like, giant boost of confidence. He still is, like, the same shy, unsure of himself kid.
He's hot, but doesn't know it.
Yeah, he's hot, but doesn't know it, which kind of defies the purpose of a body swap, because it's supposed to give you a new perspective. It gives him zero new perspective. It's just like, why even include it in this? The script could have been exactly the same without that supernatural element.
Well, no, because they needed that plot point. So if that for some reason, everyone he comes across is like trying to fuck this teenage boy. Like every adult, like his Uber driver, his drug dealer, they're all just like, hey, do you want to have sex with us? Like,
He's like, everybody wants him to have threesomes with their partners.
Off, man. And also, like,
underage child.
No disrespect, but he wasn't like Timothy Chalamet or something. Like,
which one person actually directly references him as looking like Timothy Chalamet at one point. But, like, and the other problem is, before he swaps, he's not hideous. Like, he's actually a cute guy. Like, he's actually a good-looking guy. So,
riddle me this. From seeing the poster, did you think it was going to be Damon Wayans Jr. was going to be the swapped out?
I had seen the trailer beforehand, so
So, all I had seen was the poster, and it was the two teenage kids, and I knew there was a swap.
Yeah.
And there was, that other actor. I was like, oh, so it's the other kid that swaps. But I was wrong. No.
Yeah, I don't think the casting of Jake Short was right, because he's never believable as a nerdy kid, and he doesn't.
I think he was believable as a nerdy kid, for sure.
No, like, that kid, like, that kid would not be that unpopular.
No,
from the looks
exactly.
Of him.
He wouldn't be a super nerd. No,
really. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, he could be like a guy that reads. He could be a guy that reads comic books and, like, is very into Dungeons and Dragons, but he's still, like, he had it together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. You know that Portlandia sketch that's about, like, how girls call themselves nerds, and it's like, no, you just have glasses and, like, Star Wars. You're actually very pretty and, like, have great social skills.
Yeah.
Please don't adopt my culture.
I guess, though, like, you know, he obviously has a lot of issues. Like, he goes to speak to the girl he likes and, like, vomits all over her.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, which the film posits that you could ever come back from that, which I highly disagree with. Like, if either of you guys got vomited on by someone, do you think you could ever eventually become that person's partner?
I'm sure I've told this story before. Ooh, where's this going?
No? Are you getting vomited on?
There was definitely a thing at a high school party that I went to where two people were making out and one of them vomited into the other one's mouth and like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Or like, so what happened?
Well, you know, they didn't like lose their social standing or anything like that. So.
But
did they continue their relationship?
Kind of.
Obviously, those two people that were making out and he vomited in her mouth or the other way around, like they had already progressed to the stage where they were making out. So obviously they had some sort of established relationship. But if your first interaction with someone is them coming up onto up to you and vomiting all over you.
Coming up
onto
you?
I feel like that's a different situation entirely.
Yeah.
There's no coming back from that.
And Paul, what about you every week, week in, week out, if he was covered in shit? Man. I feel like you could come back from that easily. What if Henry, who's that guy you love?
Which guy?
The one that dated a Minogue?
Gallivant.
What if that guy was talking to you and he vomited?
But the thing is, I have a pre-established crush on him. My first time I ever saw him, he vomited all over me. It would be a different story, I feel.
I don't know, man.
We need to test this out. Hire someone to vomit on me.
That's really hot.
Yeah. This could be a new rom-com. Like, some friends hire, like, a sexy sex worker to vomit on their friend to see what will happen.
Where to go from there?
So, should I do the 30-second plot summary?
Oh, yeah, shit, I forgot. I just feel like there's just so... All the hijinks were so, like, what's
unrelated
happening
to the main plot. Yeah, Like, even within the logic of the film, they weren't really explained and they didn't make sense. Like,
so, That
was my real bugbear with this film, because you do this kind of like wacky hijink sex comedy. Things should have an escalation and a reasoning towards them. Like the film that really came to mind was the film Good Boys, the Jacob Tremblay like movie, which was kind of this formula, but with like little kids, but they had like a clear goal of what they were trying to achieve.
Yes.
And
yes.
Every step was trying to achieve that.
The same with Superbad as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like them getting to the party to make out with these girls. And to bring alcohol to this party and all these things that are stopping them from getting in the way, like police and bloody getting hit by a car and all this stuff. But yeah, it made sense.
Yeah.
So I was like, we're doing this now? They're in a drain? Like, what?
Yeah. There's like, all right, we need to get a Porsche to rock up to the party, but that's
why
we're
not
like,
even going to the the girls' party now. We're going to this other party.
I know, right?
And then there's this whole like thing where they had to go get Viagra pills for no reason. Like literally there's no reason.
Like, yeah, they're two teenage boys who are like, we need Viagra.
Yeah, we need Viagra because teenage boys always have erectile dysfunction. Like that's the main problem with teenage boys. It's not, you know, spontaneous erections coming too early. It's we don't know if we're going to be able to get it up. Like literally that girl looks at you, you're getting it up. So then they getting this Viagra means they end up having to go to this guy's house and hold his hand while he's having sex with his girlfriend, and I don't know. It really bugged
me.
Yeah,
they did the Arc de Triomphe. Isn't that what that is?
The what?
The Arc de Triomphe.
Because they were holding hands. Isn't that what
that's called? The Eiffel Tower is when you're like running a train on someone and you do a high five. Is that what you mean?
No, I think the Arc de Triomphe. is when it's from Broad City. That's the only reason I know. You know, Alana says, both of us are like being gone down on, and we like grab hands and hold hands and make the Okay, that's the end of the story. It's because they were holding hands, is all.
Yeah, yes.
All right. Good luck with your 30-second plot.
Okay.
Include all the hijinks.
I'm not going to. All right.
Ready, count me set, in. Go.
So Neil's this nerdy kid and he likes this girl, but he vomits on her. He wants to go to her party and then he wishes at 11:11, which apparently is this urban legend, if you, whatever you wish for will come true, and he wishes to be cool, and then he wakes up the next morning hot. And then he goes, what a Porsche, and then they end up in a robbery, and then they end up at the party, and then he turns into his normal self and she likes him the way he is.
Boom.
The end.
Wow. Not bad, but also you
missed so much.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. But I have to say, none of it was consequential. Like, there's so much inconsequential shit.
The whole thing with the Damon Wayne. What is his name?
Damon Wayans Jr.
I feel like they were kind of like, oh, he's such a great get. Like, let's really shoehorn him in here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because somehow he became a character. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And it made no sense. It's like, yeah, it was kind of like he became the best friend.
Yeah,
it was weird.
It's like, for like at least an hour into the film, we followed these two dudes. And then all of a sudden the camera is now following David Wayne's adventures.
Yeah, like we completely forget about the main character and go on this whole side thing. And the other thing is, like, Damon Wayne's character is a piece of shit. He's like,
yeah,
he's
really
randomly committing violent crimes for no reason. Are we supposed to, like,
these kids?
Yeah.
I know, like, I really did, like, feel like, I've looked away and now this is happening and it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And I stopped and went back and I was like, nope, that's just what happens.
Can you just help me understand the ending? Cause like those two, like they were like,
which two?
Gilbert and David Wayne Jr.'s character.
Yeah.
They were originally like, you know, with Jake and doing like, sorry, Neil, the character Neil, and they were doing like a movie together, and then they sort of branched off and did their own movie, which ended in this like Thelma and Louise sort of like, I'm going to shoot this kid in the leg and then shoot myself in the arm after trying to get away from the police. And this would somehow get me out of trouble.
And frame another person for all our crimes.
But how do you frame, the store owner when you're running away in a car and then smashing into the building? Like, it made no sense. I had no idea what was going on. And all we're left with was like Gilbert and him in an ambulance. That was the last we see of them.
Did you watch the mid-credit sequence?
Oh.
We find out that
I'm just going to come out and say, no, I did not.
Okay. We find out that the shopkeeper ended up winning a $7 million
lawsuit. But once again, that's an entirely different story. Like, I don't give a shit about that. I was like, oh, this is going to be a thing, like, sort of like, once again, Superbad, where it's like, oh, there's, like, going to be this element which is about, like, actually appreciating your friends or whatever. Because Gilbert was with him, like, 100% of the way, constantly telling him he loves him. And then he just sort of vanished from the story.
Yeah,
very weird.
I don't know. Like, it just felt like a first draft, but not even, because in a first draft, I feel like you would simplify it more. Like, why? I don't get it.
We'll circle back.
Yeah. Yeah. There was just so much of that. And yeah, like Damon Wayans Jr., I hated that character. Like, he was just pinning crimes on other people, robbing, like putting guns in people's faces for no reason. Like,
yeah, it was weird.
Yeah. And I love Damon Wayans Jr. Like, coach on
New Girl. Yeah.
Yeah. He was coach on New Girl. Love that character. Love it. Happy endings. Amazing.
Yeah.
This, yeah.
Not so good.
And then, like, in their little hijinks thing, they go to, like, a gay rave. I didn't understand why they were there, how they discovered the rave. Did you guys get that
was,
at all?
That was...
Nah.
That I can tell. So the guy who was working at the clothes store, he was the model, inviting the hot guy to the party. And they were like, oh, like people fuck at this party. And they didn't realize it was like a gay rave. But they were like, well, we're here. Like, let's have a good time.
That gay rave felt like they went to a straight production designer and a straight costume designer and a straight casting director and said, make a gay rave. It was so, felt so
straight.
It felt not genuine. Yeah, I wasn't vibing with that party at all.
Oh, dear.
And I don't know. It's just like, and like, I commend it because, you know, if this film was made like 10 years earlier, they would have been all like panicked that they were a gay party. Whereas this, they kind of just went there and then they were happy to be there and dance with the guys.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I feel like this film has a lot of like have your cake and eat it too moments where I don't know if they quite got there. Like the characters constantly talking about feminism and, you know, making all these feminist remarks, but then like in his fantasy sequences, like Gilbert literally tells Neil to let Summer get kidnapped because there was no chance she was going to fuck him anyway. And it's like that, and that was our introduction to those characters, and immediately put me offside them. Yeah, I don't know. Did you also, guys like, feel that about like the politics of the film? I don't know.
Yeah, I do agree. I just want to talk about the swap mechanic. So just every day at 11:11, you can make a wish.
Yeah. But the universe, so yeah, if you make a wish at 11:11, the universe has to agree with your wish. If the universe agrees, then you'll get it.
Right.
But then the same time the next day, it will reverse.
Okay. So you can't just like wish for $1 million one day and then wish for bigger boobs the next day and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Only
but
if
then
the universe
like,
really likes you.
Yeah. But then, like,
me?
Gilbert was saying...
No, it definitely doesn't.
Because Gilbert was saying, like, a Cambodian child wished for his village to get clean drinking water and it worked by wishing at 11:11. But does that mean then the next day they
then the
got
universe,
their water taken
yeah,
away?
Yeah. Gave him a drought. Really?
But again, like, what did this swap teach him, really? I guess... She liked him for who he was.
Yeah, see, this is where
the confidence was always within.
Yeah, I sort of I feel
I was
like
I hate it.
Yeah, I don't like those messages because they're just like just so unrealistic. Like this, like I said before, like he doesn't know this woman. He's never actually spoken to her. And so like having these films where you have put someone on a pedestal in that way and you don't actually know them, like, and at the end it becoming like a sort of wish for fulfillment sort of movie where he gets the girl by being himself. It's like, I don't know, like you were talking about the politics of the film, that always knocks me because I'm like, he should like meet her and then find out that I don't like her just because she's hot. Because why am I invested in him getting the girl? Like, if that's his only, like, I don't know.
And, like, so, and then when they finally have a conversation at the end, she demands to see his art and he shows her and his art happens to be a, like, a comic book that he's written where she is a main character, he is a main character, and she is saying things like, please kiss me while simultaneously finger me. And, like... constantly talking about her pussy and all this like gross shit and she
finds
it
charming.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is once like, again why this is like that fantasy like for a teenage boy to be like, I told a girl like the gross shit I think about And the girl went, awesome. Like, that's like...
That actually makes you cool. Like, that's literally what she says. Yeah.
That's like every teenage boy like...
Yeah, that's not the message we need to be telling teenage boys.
Yeah. Like, it's one thing if they had a pre-existing relationship and she was in on the joke and that... You could see in a universe where a girl would find that funny, but there is no girl where some guy she has never met before has been writing that shit about her
for years.
And she would be completely fucking creeped out.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, she was a bit of a, she was pretty much a non-character. She was like the epitome of one of these like Manic Pixie Dream Girl underwritten bullshit characters.
Yeah.
It's funny that her name was Summer. I don't know if that was a reference to 500 Days of Summer, which is like the ultimate Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Because
sometimes I was actually like, is this a spoof? Or like, is this film genuine?
Yeah.
Like, it was called Super Cool. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, if it was, I think they've failed. Like, it didn't go far enough for that. It just was kind of in the middle ground. And, you know, Damon Wayans Jr. comes from the first family of spoofs. Like, he should know better.
I will say, my favorite thing about this movie was the friendship between the two guys and the way they liked to dance and the way they were talking about just all of that conversation they were having while they were doing that dance was funny.
Yeah, the dance was great because the song was great. Like, you know, Hadaway, What Is Love, all-time classic. I will never not be bopping along when that song's playing.
Yeah.
And they played it like 5 times in this movie. So, definitely the highlight for me. But also, like, the music was very, like, not appropriate for the demographic. Like, no teen party is going to be playing, like, Spandau Ballet. Like, it's not happening.
What if they want to slow dance with a girl? What are the kids putting on today? Like,
they'd put on like fucking Olivia Rodrigo or
WAP.
Yeah.
You know, something else. Like Taylor Swift's Midnight album. Like anything but the. Yeah.
Although, if we're talking about it, I would like to be Elon Musk's son.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd even suck your dick if it meant I could be his son. Like, that's my level of commitment, man.
So you think there's an actual scenario where you sucking my dick will lead to Elon Musk being your father?
I don't know, man. The universe works in mysterious ways. Never underestimate the power of a good dick suck.
So you've heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, Brendan.
Are they a dude or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ding.
Why?
Why did you do that?
Mixed it up a bit, right?
No.
Oh. Should I do it again?
No, I have to say
it's done now. Everyone
is beautiful in their own way.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Beautiful. Own way.
Again, we got to get Hugo Weaving to record that shit.
Yes, it has to be him now that we've said it. Damon Wayans Jr. as Jimmy. Hot or not?
He is so fine. Mm. Yes, he's very hot.
I think he is attractive. He is very hot. This character, though.
Yeah, this character was terrible. But like you said, Coach, he'll always be Coach to me. And I'm not mad at that.
I know. Yeah. He drove a Porsche. Like,
that he borrowed from
that didn't know what women were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to give him a heart because of the amount of goodwill he's given me over the years in all his other projects. I can't physically give him a not, especially because he is so beautiful to look at. Mm. So I'm going to give him a heart. But you're on thin ice, Damon Wayans Jr.
Yeah, terrible character. Yeah.
Brendan?
Yeah, no, I agree. He shot a child. Hot.
Next, we've got the 25-year-old Jake Short as Neil, the main character. Hot or not?
Well, I was going to say not. Like, I was surprised you were saying he could have... I don't know. He just came off a little dweeby to me. I was like, oh, he fits the mold, you know?
But dweeby is hot.
Sorry?
Like, yeah, I think he's a good-looking guy, hot. For sure.
Yeah?
I just thought there wasn't enough of a night and day between him and his swapped form.
Yeah, he was, like, good-looking and now he's a bit more good-looking.
Yeah, exactly.
He was, like, in shape and then in shape with abs.
Now he has abs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, because he has, like... multiple shirtless scenes, like, he looks good. Like, he's a hot guy. But his character, I don't know. Like, it's one thing to think things. It's another thing to make, like, a giant comic book about your sexual fantasies.
It's like erotic fan fiction, yeah.
Yeah, about people in your life. It just feels gross.
Yeah, but he was aware that he was gross. Like, you know.
And he kept doing it. Yeah, look, I'm gonna give him a heart just because
he wasn't
I'm
like posting them online and sharing around the school or anything.
He did have a thing where he didn't show it to anyone. So how about Josh Cranston as Ace, his hot form?
I don't know if I saw it enough to actually.
I feel like
from the glimpses.
If I have to go by Timothy Chalamet, I'll say pass. Thank you very much.
The reflection in the phone that we saw four times.
What do you mean?
Chalamet?
I don't know what all the fuss is about.
Timothy Chalamet is like an off-brand Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Timothy Chalamet.
Off topic, you know how I always say, like, you know, if they were covered in shit, blah, blah, blah. Well, I just watched the new Timothée Chalamet movie where he's literally covered in the blood and, like, offal of other human beings. And he's got a mullet and he still managed to be hot. So.
What movie is it?
The new one that he's made with the director of Call Me By Your Name. It's called Bones and All. And it's a cannibal romance. And it's fantastic. But, yeah,
Did you say a cannibal romance?
Yes.
And, yo, it's isn't it's that so on the nose because
yeah,
of-
Armie Hammer being-
Armie Hammer?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, no, it is a fantastic movie, though, so.
Is cannibalism contagious? Did he pick it up on set? And he's like, I got to write a movie about it.
So Madison Davenport as Summer, the love interest.
Yeah, she was fine.
Yeah, she's just a bit of a nothing.
Like, yeah.
Like, in terms of the
script. They didn't give her anything to work with.
Yeah, even.
Obviously, a very pretty girl. Yeah.
Like, I just remembered when I watched Can't Hardly Wait, which is like an old, like, one of these films. And I just remember, like,
but infinitely better.
I fell in love with Jennifer Love. Is it Jennifer Love Hewitt? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I literally did. Like, I remember, like, pining. Like, I was like a wreck.
And that's the way it should be. Okay. That went well. Cool. Thanks for that, Brendan. I just mean that's how they should write these characters. They should make you erect.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, but like the character of
I
her.
Hate you guys. Truly, I do.
All I knew about it was she attended the same school and she had a party coming up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Why was I going to fall in love with her? That's what I want to know. What does it do for me?
Yeah. My God, Can't Hardly Wait. It's such a good movie. I want to rewatch that so bad.
Are you
if
sure?
If only there was a body swap in it.
Yeah.
No, it still holds up.
It holds up.
Yeah.
Will I have, like, trouble, like...
maintaining your erection now?
Probably nowadays. You'll be able to...
You'll be able to last longer. It's... Miles J. Harvey as Gilbert, the best friend. He actually
was a good friend.
Yeah. He actually felt like his age. So let's friend or foe him. I'm going to foe him because he annoyed me.
He seemed like a good friend. I'm going to friend him.
I'd be his friend.
Like, he was a little pushy with, like, getting him to go over. Like, I do think he should have respected the guy's boundaries and not forced him to go over and talk to him, talk to the girl and get vomit all over her. But
I also just thought, like, the way he was trying to pick up all the girls felt a bit gross, like always pick up lines and stuff. I wasn't vibing with that character.
You know what? I just realized, no, actually everything he was doing was for himself. Like they weren't going to Summer's party. They were going to this random other party. The Porsche was his, like, I felt like there was going to be a scene coming up where he was like, you know, yeah, great, you've got this body, but who am I? And, like, I need these things to, you know, get the go. And they both learn that they don't need these things. But, you know, that never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, and that he never got called up on all the unnecessary shit he made them do.
Yeah. Like,
all right, so we were just going to flip and give him a foe?
If I had a friend who's like, can you come with me to get drugs? And then sort of, like, made me participate in a sexual act I didn't want to, I would say that's not a good friend. And if that's happened to you at home, if you're listening, that's not a good friend. Okay?
Yeah, I agree. Fuck you, Gilbert.
But I did find him funny. Moving on.
I just liked the way him and his best friend liked to dance together. It was funny.
Yeah. The dancing was great. If the whole film was about the dancing.
The dancing.
Look,
it was like a step up type movie.
Well, you know, we have had a movie centered around Dance Dance Revolution, which was the classic Kissing Booth 2. So, you know, we know it can be done.
Yeah.
The 2.5 hour epic Kissing Booth 2.
So Vanessa and I are going to make love now, and we'd love for you guys to just be around. You know, feel free to hop in or do whatever's comfortable, you know? Have a seat, take a load off.
Tammy, ¿qué?
Yeah, positive vibes only. Okay? Great! Alexa, play my sex jams.
Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of Super Cool from across the interwebs. So this first one I chose because I didn't know what your opinions were going to be, but I guess you align quite well with this guy. Channel Donstag is at 4.5 stars and says, haven't laughed out loud.
I'm not giving it 4.5 stars. Don't you align me. I'm just saying there were some real pieces of shit that we watched recently, and this was better than a lot of pieces of shit.
Well, they say, haven't laughed out loud like this for a while. Truly enjoyed this one. Funny, clever, touching in all the right spots, and loaded with some great one-liners. Watch it and enjoy. So there are some damaged people out there. Robin Farah on Letterboxd gives it 2 stars and says, this Finnish studio created the first Hollywood teen flick written entirely by a bot, and you'll never believe the results. Which, you know, if you did tell me this film was written by a bot, I wouldn't be shocked. Like, it does feel like they just picked
plot points out of a hat and then, toss it against the wall.
No, I feel like SPF 18 was written by a bot.
Ah, yes. An amazing bot. I'd watch that film a million times over this, but.
I know you would.
Let's watch it right now.
Hey, you guys want some smoothies? Yeah.
So good. I love that movie. I love it.
I was going to say, like, you just quoted a line from SP18. Could you quote a line from this movie that you just watched? Like, I can't think of anything.
No.
I'm right. Looking at my notes, horse cock power. nothing,
which isn't even clever at all.
What's losing your? Oh, sorry. What does pussy feel like? putting your dick in some mashed potatoes.
Which once again feels like a bot who's like, all right, American Pie, got it. Let's add a little of that in.
Yeah.
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 Never underestimate the power of a good dick suck. There you go. You can use that at your next party.
I think that's more of a thing you'd be like.
Your parties, Paul.
Look, I can't say I disagree with the sentiment, but is it a great quote? Maybe. Brandon Lee 97 gives it 4 stars, and he says, for the people who are hating on this movie, you clearly have never had a love for old raunchy comedies like Superbad. This movie is one of my guilty pleasure movies.
Yo, old raunchy comedies? How old is Superbad?
Are we?
We're old.
Are we old?
Guys, we're old.
No, it's not old.
Like, Superbad feels like a new comedy to me. 2007.
Okay, actually, whoa.
15 years ago.
Yeah, but like American Pie is like how old?
That was 99.
Yeah, so come on.
That's very old, and Superbad is old.
So what does that make movies like with Marilyn Monroe in them as shit?
Ancient. We're going to die soon.
I throw these parties because they cater to a very specific clientele base.
The gays?
Yeah. Gay guys have so much money because all they do is look amazing, take vacations, fuck, and do drugs. And I throw these parties knowing I will get back 3 or 4 times the amount I put in as an investment. It's called an ROI. And you two fucking clowns thought it would be okay to come in my house and steal my motherfucking money.
All right, let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So I'll get us started. My connection is Madison Davenport, who played Summer, the love interest. And I am going to recommend a movie she did in 2014 that got some pretty terrible reviews, and it was a box office flop that I actually really loved. And that was the Darren Aronofsky biblical epic Noah. Have either of you guys seen this?
No. Are you talking about is this about getting animals in an ark?
Yeah.
Really?
So this is the Noah Ark story, but done by Darren Aronofsky, the guy that did Requiem for a Dream and Mother and all these amazing movies.
Yeah.
And this is his version of a biblical epic. So this kind of film posits, like, what would your reaction be if some dude was saying that God was speaking in his head and telling him that the apocalypse was about to happen and that only 2 of every animal can survive? And, like, what if that was your dad? Would you trust him? Is he actually sane? So it sees the movie as almost a horror, apocalyptic horror film. It's set in, like, it also posits that the world before the biblical floods was a very different world. Like, there's giant monsters, like, walking around, and it's, like, really weird. And I don't think audiences expected this. You go see a religious epic about Noah.
Strange.
Yeah. It's got an amazing cast. So this is the cast, guys. Russell Crowe, Jennifer Connelly, Anthony Hopkins, Emma Watson, Nick Nolte. Everyone in this is famous. And
I'm just going to say, never heard of it. I never heard of it. I never seen an image of it. Nothing.
I remember it coming out, but I made it.
There's also a
hard pass in my mind.
Yeah, really worth people's time. And, like, there's a kind of recreation of the Genesis creation story that's all kind of, it's almost this, like, own short film that reminds you of, like, a Kubrickian kind of, like, tripped out imagery of, like, the Big Bang and all this kind of stuff. It was a real out there film that I feel like people really need to give a chance. So I really want to champion. Wow. So Madison Davenport played Nael, which I think was one of Noah's daughters. But yeah, I really want people to give this film a go. If nothing else, it's super ambitious. Noah.
Sounds like hard work. I'm not going to lie. I'm only going to watch it if you make me. Which means you will. Yeah. Damn it, I shouldn't have said that.
But yeah, that's my recommendation. 2014's Noah. All right, so Brendan, what's your recommendation?
I'm going to do another Get the Girl comedy, one that I think's a lot better than this one.
If yours is the same as mine, I'm going to be mad.
Well, no, I purposely chose one that I thought would... There's one that I thought you two would do that's exactly... I'll wait. Anyway. Yeah. Are people listening?
Today, Junior.
So, yeah. For all the reasons that I was rambling on about what I don't like about these sorts of films, I've chosen the film Long Shot. Does anyone remember Long Shot? Have you watched it, Lucy?
What is it again?
Who's in it?
Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
I saw it with you at the cinemas.
Yeah.
It was good. And so, for people who've never heard of it, which I think's a lot, I feel like it was a very underperforming film. Mm-hmm. It's about Seth Rogen playing sort of this journalist who's like, you know, uncompromising, and he sort of runs in, you know, political circles, and incidentally runs into his babysitter from when he was a kid, who he had like a, you know, one of these like undying crushes on, and she just so happens to be running for president, and she sort of hires him on as her like speechwriter kind of thing, and it's just this very wonderful like romantic comedy that's not usually my thing, but I just remember it being very sweet and laughing so hard like throughout. And I think if you want something that is really funny and gives more than two dimensions to the love interest of the woman, I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, it was good. And also, I feel like, you know, the way sometimes those rom-coms, like, I feel like this is like perfectly for our age bracket.
Because they're like in their mid-30s.
Well, yeah, and just like, I don't know, the careers and the aspirations, and I mean, I don't want to be president, but
all
just
actually play a role in the in the story. Like, you have to consider these things. Yeah, for sure.
Lucy, what do you got?
So my link is one of the producers of this film, Chris DeBenedetto.
That DK.
I went into the list, was a producer and the assistant director on The Package.
Oh, yeah. I love The Package. That was a film that I think went under the radar. Know,
it's like a teenage, like, romp as well. And it's like a crazy event and like a race to, you know, whatever. Like, I feel like there are some parallel themes here. And it was just really funny and silly and like a good example of a silly teenage movie, but that is still good.
Yeah.
It's got that kid from Alex Strangelove in it.
Yeah.
His name is Gopal.
I forget, but he was like in every Netflix movie for like a year, and then he dropped off the face of the earth. Yeah.
And then it's also got, and I had to look up this guy's name, Eduardo Franco, who's in Stranger Things and Booksmart and, you know, like the cool kid with the long hair. It's got him in it too, and it just is a good time. It's a fun watch. And it actually had a link, like, somebody that worked on this movie worked on that movie.
I actually did think of that specific movie when I was watching this, because I was thinking about how that film had stakes and a progression to the plot.
And you know, kind of like Brendan called this movie like a comedy road trip thing. Like, this was that. The Package actually was that.
And you should probably like give some people a taste of the plot, which is
I feel like you shouldn't. I went in not knowing anything about that movie. I was just like, I love this stony kid, and then I watched it and I was like, what the fuck is this? I feel like, I mean, if you watch a trailer, you're gonna get a taste, but
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go in blind. I would say go in blind. Have you watched it, Brendan?
No. But I do know. I do know.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So
and it's also got Blake Anderson in it, and I love him. Yeah, I forgot to say him.
So there you go. I thought one of you would do Booksmart.
Yeah, I have. Surely one of us has done it by now.
I feel like Brendan's done it.
I feel like it's on the list.
Okay.
You'll just shut up and kiss me and finger me simultaneously.
You're fucking with me right now.
Yes, I'm fucking with you.
I knew
you porn twisted boy.
I know. Yeah.
Who the fuck talks like that?
I know. I've
never used the word pussy that many times in my life. Jesus, you really know how to make a girl swoon.
If you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap film we have reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we going to put Super Cool on our list? So I'll get us started.
How sad were you that it wasn't as close to Pretty Cool as you may have wanted?
Very sad. Like, I always want a film to be close to Pretty Cool because that means it would be, like, excellent.
A high tier film, of course.
Yeah. So I am going to put it in between My Brother the Pig and Sam. So it's pretty low, but I feel like as many problems I had with this film, it wasn't as painful of a watch as Sam or Bad Johnson or The Sex Trick, which are all below it.
My Brother the Pig is so good.
Yeah, I don't understand why that's so low. Do we like retroactively remember it better just because it had the Hair Machine song in it?
Yes, 100%.
And that it's become part of like the DNA of the show with DPW.
Dehydrated poo
up. Look at what like you can do with so little. Like you can imprint on us forever.
Yeah. So that's where I'm putting it.
But where is that? I'm looking on your list. Is it?
It's quite low. It's in the bottom. It's in the bottom half, or the bottom third, I'd say.
Did you think My Brother the Pig was worse than Mr. Fuzzy Pants?
I guess Apparently so. I mean, Mr. Fuzzy Pants had some amazing moments in it. The Mr. Fuzzy Pants just for the scene.
Defending Mr. Fuzzy Pants.
I am. I'm defending Kevin Spacey. I'm defending Mr. Fuzzy Pants. Purely the scene where Jennifer Garner, the doctor, is telling her that her husband's brain dead, and it's like super serious, and the cat's like in the background going really. That's comedy.
I hate that.
Have you seen the trailer for Kevin Spacey's new film?
So loud. No, what? Does that exist?
Yeah, there's the new film. It's like Kevin Spacey trying to be like a cool like a hitman assassin kind of guy. Like,
please tell me you swap bodies.
No, unfortunately.
Damn it!
I will truly quit if that's the case.
Lucy, where are you putting it?
I'm putting it in between Prelude to a Kiss and The Shaggy DA, because why not?
How much do you like those films?
You know, an amount.
The same amount as this. Brendan?
I'm going to put it between Ice Angel, a.k.a. On Thin Ice, Skating for the Gold, and A Whisker Away.
Oh, wow.
Partly because I wanted to say it. I wanted to say Ice Angel, a.k.a. On Thin Ice, Skating for the Gold.
It is fun, isn't it? Yeah.
And partly because I do remember having a good time watching that film.
On a side note, now that you mention A Whisker Away, have either of you guys watched, I know Brendan you wouldn't have, but Lucy you may have, the new film with Betty from Riverdale, where it's kind of like Sliding Doors, where she like makes two decisions and you see the two versions of her life?
No, I only just watched the movie with Veronica
from Riverdale.
What is it?
So it's actually not bad. I forgot what it's called, Changing Lanes, something like that. I don't know. It's Sliding Doors pretty much, but it's like one version she's had a baby and one version she hasn't, which is unimportant because her character is an animator And the film was made by Netflix. And they go to like this Japanese fair, and there's an entire like pavilion devoted to A Whisker Away. And she goes up to it and she's like, oh my God, I love this movie. And then she goes on this whole speech about how it made her feel like the first time she watched Spirited Away. And she was comparing A Whisker Away to Spirited Away. And I actually felt sick to my stomach. But anyway.
I was going to say that I referenced to a bunch of 22-year-olds sliding doors and they had no idea what I was saying. And I felt old.
R.I.P. us. Yeah. Do you think they've even heard the Aqua classic, Turn Back Time?
Oh, surely. They're like, they're so into their 90s, these kids. Like,
yeah,
they'd eat it up. Oh, wait, no, that was 2000s.
All right. Well, actually, some girls at work today were saying that they love My Humps. It's like the song they always listen to when they go out.
Okay. That's enough of that. We barely made it through the first time.
And then I told them about the time that Fergie pissed herself on stage. And I thought it was quite funny. All right. So, next episode. What are you guys vibing?
I'd really like a...
good movie.
A user, like a listener's submitted request. That's what I'd like to.
Well, we're not getting one. I did get one.
Oh.
I did get one, but we're not going to do it next week. They're going to have to wait.
Oh.
Because we did have a lovely listener, and his name is Alex, and he said, I gave you a rating on Spotify. Could you please review The Witches with Angelica Houston? The characters transform into mice. They don't swap bodies. So I'm not sure if it meets your criteria, but I feel like it's close enough.
Paul will do anything. did you mention it as fart jokes?
Oh my God, that movie scarred.
Yeah, he said, I would love to hear your take specifically on the protagonist's relationship with his grandmother. I feel like it's really weird and that she shouldn't be raising a child. I don't know if this is relevant, but Roald Dahl hated the film so much that he stood in front of his village's movie theater with a megaphone yelling at people not to see it. Yeah.
Really? Yes,
I love your podcast. You guys are super funny. I hope you have a great day. Best regards, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Wow.
All right. So, but we're not going to do The Witches. We will do The Witches at some point, but I had already chosen next week's film before I had seen his email. So he's just going to have to wait. You're just going to have to be patient, Alex. But we really... We do appreciate your email. We love hearing from the listeners. So everyone be like Alex and send us stuff. But next week, we will be doing the 2018 Christian faith-based comedy, The Big Fix.
Someone's what buddies of God? Is that what this is?
Where a family on the brink of collapse, it sounds like us, finds themselves trapped in each other's bodies. Freaky Friday goes to church in this heartfelt family comedy.
Oh my God.
Yay.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun one. If Switched was anything to go by. Yeah. Yes. I think we'll all learn a lot about our relationship with Christ next week. So I'm looking forward to that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Didn't we already cover all of that in all the other
Christian We've only Christian done one other Christian ones. One, Switched with Denise Richards.
And Mama Boy.
Mama Boy wasn't Christian.
It was.
We got confirmation from the director who said that it had no Christian affiliations.
Okay.
A film, it just has to be that bad that people assume it's Christian.
It had a lot of God themes in it. And it was a lot of church stuff. So I stand by my comment.
All right. So I look forward to that one. So until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify like Alex did. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
And I was Brendan Levi.
Bye. All right.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.
The Swellcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.